Joining me on the phone in the WGVU newsroom is Ray Green. She's the co-founder of the Sanford House, an addiction treatment center serving both men and women here in Grand Rapids. A new study by Wallet Hub has just named Michigan as the second worst state in the United States for drug abuse. Green joins us now here on Midday West Michigan to share her thoughts on what life is like on the front lines of drug abuse. Ray, how are you today?
I'm doing just great, Dan. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for joining us today. We so appreciate it. Ray, before we get into the study, tell us a little bit about the Sanford House. Who are you and what is your mission there?
Our mission at Sanford House is to serve those struggling with substance use disorders. And my husband and I founded it in 2014. And what we wanted to create was an inspirational environment, very decidedly non-institutional. In fact, our treatment facilities are based in historic homes in the Heritage Hill District. And that's rather unusual for a quote-unquote rehab to be housed in a setting such as that. So what we wanted was to not only treat the disease, but also to inspire those who come through our doors.
And do you think that having it in historical surroundings as opposed to like kind of a medical building kind of allows people to step outside themselves or to think larger?
I think it absolutely does. And part of the reason is that when someone is dealing with substance use disorder, whatever the substance of choice is, there is so much shame and stigma that accompanies them through our doors. And so having a setting that's home-like and welcoming and a comfortable, beautiful place to do probably the hardest work that they're ever going to do starts us off on the right foot and has a tremendous benefit and impact on the services that they receive.
You know, and not to be too personal, but you co-founded this in 2014. Was it something that you've been touched personally, somebody that you know? What was the motivation that inspired you to start this?
There are several motivations, both professional and personal. Professionally, I am a counselor by training and saw a need, a void, a paucity of treatment, particularly treatments that's responsive to commercial insurances. And my husband and I saw that need and identified it as something that we were interested in pursuing and helping to alleviate within our state, if not within the Midwest. Personally, yes, our family has been extraordinarily impacted by addiction at many levels, just as most families are in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this study that names Michigan as having the second worst drug abuse problem, when you read this study, you know, your initial reaction, were you surprised at the findings?
I was surprised that Michigan was a second in this ranking. However, I looked at it and read through it, and you know, there are 25 points of comparison that are utilized in this study, and I would hesitate in taking all of these metrics and making a broad brush statement such as Michigan is number two, the worst in the country, because some of the metrics that were used then were things like law enforcement, rehabilitation, drug health issues, and that would include things like prescribing opioid prescriptions. And as far as that, you know, component to this, you know, national problem, Kent County is much lower than other counties as far as the dispensation of opioid prescriptions. So I think we have to dig into it a little bit, not only because there are a lot of factors that go into that number two slot, but also that this report is not a U.S. government report, such as the NIH or SAMHSA, which are the ones that we generally look at for our numbers.
Sure. We're talking with Ray Green. She's the co-founder and president of Sanford House Addiction Treatment Centers, right here in Grand Rapids. You know, as someone who is working on the front lines of drug abuse in Kent County, from your perspective, just how bad is it? Is it average or is it lower than average?
Kent County as compared to other counties or states?
Counties or states, just as you see it, have you seen, I guess my initial reaction is, you know, according to the Centers for Disease Control, opioid overdoses in the state of Michigan have risen, have tripled over the past 5 years. In 2017, there were more overdose deaths than there were traffic accidents and gun-related deaths combined. And so I'm curious to know, have you seen an influx into the people that you care for at the Sanford House?
Yes, the answer is unequivocally yes. Any way we look at these statistics and dissect them, they're staggering. So I think we need to take it very seriously, particularly with this opioid crisis that's facing our country. 120 people a day are dying from opiate overdose. And most of those people are between the ages of 21 and 26. And so it's impacting a generation. And so I think that's what we're seeing in terms of people coming into our treatment facility.
No, that's just heartbreaking. As a parent, I think 21 to 26, I just think of the poor moms, the poor dads whose kids suffer that kind of a fate. We're talking about drugs here. The news media outlet constantly talking about the opioid epidemic as overdoses, as we have said, have tripled. Are there other drugs that you're seeing addicts are coming into your doors with, or is it primarily opioids?
We're seeing across the board. We're seeing opioids. We're seeing alcohol. And there's a little bit of an uptick in methamphetamines. But I would say for the most part, it's the alcoholism and opiate addiction. Many of those opiate cases stem from a prescription that's been written. Somebody gets injured in a high school basketball game, and they become addicted and turn to heroin. And we're seeing a lot of those cases. I'd also like to mention that, to keep this in perspective, the opiate epidemic is doing something for our country that I think is invaluable, and that is starting a discussion such as you and I are having. And if you look at the numbers of people that die from opiate overdoses, over 40,000 a year, there are still 88,000 people a year who die of alcohol-related deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So I think keeping these things in perspective, but creating the dialogue about what's going on in our country.
Yeah, and you've told me that in the past, that there is a larger conversation to be had, it's really not being discussed, and that is about the alcohol abuse. And, drinking here is it's celebrated in West Michigan. I mean, we're Beer City, USA, right? There's a bar or brewery on every block, and yet people can walk into a Wesco that sells alcohol, buy a fifth of vodka and drink themselves to death right there on the spot.
Legal substance. That's correct. The mortality rate for alcohol has increased 30% just since 2012. So it is certainly an issue. And what we need to talk about when it comes to alcohol use is prevention. 9 of 10 people who struggle with that started before the age of 21. And science is now telling us that if no one took a sip of alcohol until the age of 25, alcoholism would be cut in half. And that is certainly not realistic, but that's what science is telling us. So I think an awareness of where just simply youth can lead us is something that the Surgeon General's report touched on this in 2016, that our system of treatment has been designed around those who are progressed chronic alcoholics. But what about that misuse that you're alluding to in Beer City, USA, where people are going to the bars on every corner? An awareness of misuse is critical.
Yeah, and it's prevalent. As somebody who grew up in a very sports dominated oriented home, I have a handful of brothers and uncles, and Sundays around the football game is, beer and beer and beer and beer. And yet you find that typically now I'm in my adulthood and going to sporting events, I find that it's becoming less about the sports, and the tailgating especially is becoming more about binge drinking. And it's very, very eye-opening as somebody who really doesn't drink anymore. As you look at this study, are there quantitative, or are there comparable rates between what they were talking about with drug abuse and with alcohol?
I think there probably are. But I want to make one reassuring statement, and that is that this is a chronic progressive disease. just as diabetes or heart disease. And so the good news is that 1 in 10 people will develop addiction, and that's based on a variety of factors, and only one of those factors is use and how much someone uses. A lot of it is the environment, the genetic predisposition. We're learning so much. There's a new book that just came out this year on the neuroscience and experience of addiction. So I think that, yes, that we do have a quote-unquote drinking society where it's very accepted, but you know, a lot of people can maintain that, and that doesn't become a progressed disease for them.
Sure. Now, one other question I wanted to ask you while I have you is that about alcohol, is I've heard that alcohol is as addicting as heroin. I've heard that's a wives' tale. From where you sit, how hard is alcohol to let go of for addicts that you have seen opposed to other drugs?
The alcohol can be something that can build up over many, many years. Sometimes we'll see someone in their 60s or 70s where they've been drinking their whole life, but they are not an alcoholic by the definition, maybe until later in life. Someone who has the genetic predisposition, they may catapult to it before they're 25 years old. We see both of those scenarios. But opiates, generally speaking, are a much quicker addictive substance. So it's hard to, you know, make some generalizations, but that's probably one that's safe to make.
Sure. We're talking with Ray Green. She's the co-founder and president of Sanford House Addiction Treatment Centers. Ray, for people who may be listening and may need help or know someone that may need help, how can they get a hold of you or the Sanford House?
We have a direct line that takes you right to our skilled admissions team. That number is 616-288-6970. You don't need to be referred. If you suspect that you have a problem or are, you know, struggling with some questions or your family's pointing some things out to you, you can always call and just ask some questions. And while we have residential treatment that's kind of our signature in our beautiful homes, we also have levels of care that are outpatient levels of care. And that oftentimes is adequate to treat someone. So there's a lot of focus on the disease management rather than just, you know, episodic treatment that you kind of envision when you see shows like Intervention or that. And I would encourage people to call, you know, with addiction, less than 21% of those who need treatment receive it. It's the lowest penetration rate of any disease, but it's growing, as this study has pointed out. So there's so much hope. And, you know, science tells us that the brain, remarkable potential for recovery and healing.
That's fantastic. And let's talk about that. And on a positive note, what kind of a feeling does it give you and give your staff when you do see somebody go through the program who emerges on the other side with that hope, with that healing, and has a new lease on life? How rewarding is that?
Well, you know, just hearing you state that, Dan, is making my heart swell with emotion, because when we have our alumni picnics and people come back to us with gratitude that life is better than it has ever been. And, you know, grandmothers who are now babysitting their grandchildren who before weren't even seeing them because of their addiction, the rewards of treating someone and helping them find an inspired, recovered life is beyond words.
That is just absolutely fantastic. Ray Green, you're the co-founder and president of Sanford House Addiction Treatment Centers. Thank you for the difference you're making in the community, and thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
I appreciate your call, Dan. Take care.